The opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
Okay, here we go. And, well, first of all, thanks for joining us this weekend. Always appreciate you spending some of your time with us. Kind of a vacant or hollow opening to the show there. You just caught me in the middle of reading some stuff. And let's all just take a minute here while you're driving around or if you're listening to this at home. For a little celebration, a little popping of the cork, we're reading surveys and economic trends all the time, but according to the average retail investor, our average U.S. household investor, now is the best time to buy stocks, more so than any other point in the last, what are we at here, 30 years? It's a great time to buy stocks. Oh man, this is good. Another piece of interesting research that we found this week. Now this is great. Anyway, and I don't want to end the party too early, right? We got to give the markets a hand, got to give the investors a hand. It's right now. It's the best time to be alive. It's the best time to buy stocks. 70% of respondents said the market is going to be up 10% or more over the next year. And that is the highest bullish reading on stock ownership or people that want to buy stocks or that say now is a good time to buy stocks. That is the highest reading since 99. Good times are here again, folks. Oh, man. You know, full confession here. Okay, hold on. I'll get to this other piece of data first. There's too much. You know, when we first started doing the radio show a year and a half ago, maybe a little more than that now. Anyway, you know, I'd always chart out the things I want to talk about and the things that we wanted to discuss. And we don't even have to do that anymore. I mean, there's so many crazy things to discuss. And yeah, you're probably sitting there going, well, Zach, you were saying it was overvalued a year and a half ago. It was. It was. And this is exactly why we tell people don't try to time markets. And we didn't. You know, we've been in. We've been hedged. We've been in carefully. And we've been performing well. But, it's just madness. Okay. The other beautiful little piece of research we found this year. So in the last 2 years, the market cap or the value of publicly traded companies has gone up by $8.2 trillion in the last 2 years. During the same period of time, gross domestic product or GDP, for you home gamers out there, it's up $1.3 trillion. So stock valuations are up $8.2 trillion over the last 2 years. Same period of time, economic growth is up $1.3 trillion. And corporate profits are down $52 billion. That's just remarkable. We're getting into the laughing phase. We're getting into the laughing phase. Darren, the producer here today, I don't think he finds us as funny as I do. he's rolling his eyes. But guys, the reason why I bring this up is I'm just trying to illustrate to you. You see it over and over. Investors get excited when prices rise. We think inversely about finance. We also think that, well, it's hot now. And I'm hearing this more from everybody. Matter of fact, Dory and I had a conversation about this just the other day. Dory Monson, for those of you that don't know, he's endorsed our firm. He's a client of ours. But we had this conversation the other day. I'm hearing more and more from people. Yeah, I think we're a little bit further out. I agree with you. Things are overvalued, but we just got to ride it a little longer. Oh, man. Famous last words. Everybody thinks they're going to get out in time. Everybody. And then when they don't, you hear about it, I'll never do that again. Market crashes. Their account loses 40%. Then they sell half their stocks, right? Because they're worried about them going to zero. That's right about the time the market rebounds. And then they don't trust it for the first couple of years. Guys, just get off the merry-go-round. You're not going to time it. You're not going to see it coming because nobody does. And listen, this is coming from me. And look, I'm no great prognosticator. I don't have a crystal ball. But we executed flawlessly. And I'm not saying that to brag at all. I've talked about it on the air before. There's a big aspect to it. I'm just going to be 100% honest with you. Was luck. In 07, we went to all cash and U.S. government bonds. And we did that because we had concerns about real estate and we wanted to step aside and just see what happened. And we don't typically do that. Again, that's sort of like market timing. I just did not like the setup. And I'd been concerned about real estate for years. And we just said, you know what? We will pass on some profits. We're going to strategically sit back for at least 6 months and watch the way things play out. Well, we all know what happened, right? But if you look back on it, and we'll probably, you know, just because you've done it once doesn't guarantee you're going to do it again. It does not mean you've got some special insight that nobody else has. But what it does mean is that, you know, we called it perfect. You know, hindsight's 20/20. Wish we'd have gone short, but we don't short with client accounts and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, my point being, there are so many outsized risks out there that no one's paying attention to. And I'm kind of rambling on here in the opening, but if this show does nothing else for you, then you need to understand the fact that things are not as they seem. That valuations are stretched incredibly, and you can get on the internet right now and you can go find people that will tell you they're not. And then I'd encourage you to do the same search for 2007. Then I'd encourage you. I read a report, an interview done with Jim Cramer in 1999, where he refuted all the people saying that stocks were expensive, said, stay in there. You got to use different metrics. You can go find all kinds of people to tell you they're not. And this is where I really need you to engage your brain, engage your mind, and step back and look at things. And don't be greedy. This is why we rely on fundamental analysis. This is why we are value investors. So we can sit back. Where do you think, Zach, where do you think stocks are going, up or down? I don't know. Why are you so worried then? Well, because the valuations don't make sense. We don't gamble. We don't buy stocks because we think they're going up. We buy them because they produce an amount of cash flow that is attractive based on the price that we pay to acquire them. That is investing, guys. And what we're talking about here, and why I quoted some of those economic stats, is listen to that. So market cap, total valuation of stocks over the last 2 years has gone up $8.2 trillion, while gross domestic product or economic activity has risen just $1.3 trillion. And over that same time frame, corporate profits are down $52 billion. We have a massive dislocation of price and actual economic performance. And we've seen it before. This isn't new. You saw it in 99. You saw it much less. Everybody thinks back to 08, 09 and, oh, is it that bad? Guys, we're way beyond 08, 09. We're way more expensive in the equity markets than we were in 08, 09. Way more. The other thing to think about is the government's got twice the level of debt that it had in 09. China has about half of the foreign reserves. And the reason why that's a big deal, guys, is one of the primary things that brought us out of the morass, the cavern that was created with markets plunging in 08, 09, was an unprecedented amount of money and debt being respectively spent and acquired or distributed or created by China. China filled in the hole. And their foreign reserves are something like half of what they were back then. What does the Fed do to stimulate economies? It drops, it decreases interest rates, right? Where are interest rates now? What are they, one-third of where they were in 07? Why is that important? Because that means when this next slowdown starts, they don't have any cushion. There's no room for them to cut to re-stimulate the economy. Am I predicting a market crash? No. I'm just saying we don't have to predict market crashes. We don't have to know when markets are going to tip over, which is good news because nobody does, right? But as investors, we sit back and we say, look, on a fundamental basis, this doesn't make any sense. So we're going to decrease our exposure. We're going to decrease our risk. We're going to make sure we're diversified, and we're going to sit back and collect some profits and continue to go up, but we're going to do it with very little risk. We want as little skin exposed as possible. Because with as historically expensive as stocks are now, guys, we've been around long enough. We know that they're going to get cheap. And as value investors, that's when we want to step on the pedal. So anyway, that's a little bit more of a disjointed first segment than we normally do. But it's remarkable. It's remarkable. Yeah, I mean, it makes me as nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof, but it really is remarkable what's going on. I've never seen anything like it in my career. I've never read anything like it. I mean, we're way beyond where we were in 29. And like I said, not forecasting the end of the world, not forecasting disaster. I just know this, and markets make a fool out of everybody if they're in them long enough, which is why I say I don't know where it's going. I'm not telling you predicting this. We don't predict. But the one thing I know for sure is we've never seen a setup like this where there's this much debt. Prices are so high and economic growth has been so low for so long. And whenever we've seen anything like it, guys, anything like it, it's ended in tears. And yet every day that passes, I'm watching retail investors get more and more excited. It is just, God, it's like watching a train wreck in slow motion. Don't be that guy. Don't do it. You know better. Don't sit there thinking you can time it and jump out right in time. And here's the other thing. We're going to talk about this. We got to get rolling. My producer's getting irritated. I'm irritated. Yeah, there he goes. He's giving me the fist signal. You settle down, Darren. We got to get going. I'm over. But we want to talk about next subject, debt, and China. Why it's important to you. If you don't think it is, you got to listen. Then the other, we're going to do questions of the week. We're going to do a little bit more about risk management. We're going to tie that into the debt segment. And again, guys, we're just going to bring some economic news to you. Just trying to lay out the facts. And also want to reiterate, and tie it into the question of the week. Now is a time to decrease risk, but how do you go about doing that? How do we go about decreasing risk? How do we go about being more conservative, yet improving our gains, improving our upside? It is possible. We're doing it every day. Dory talks about it every day. Anyway, we got to run. Stick with us. Got a great show coming up. Thanks for joining us. And we'll be right back. Oh, and also, I haven't even said it yet. I get too spun up on the economic stuff, and I forget to even say how you can get a hold of us. You can call us at 866-779-RISK. You can speak to me directly or speak to one of our assistants. set up an appointment. We can do a 15-minute phone call, do a risk review. You can go to the radio show website at knowyourriskradio.com, access all of our podcasts. But anyway, way over on time. Stick with us. We'll be right back. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great. You'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right. Here we go. Welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us. And if you're just joining us, it's Know Your Risk Radio. And we do things a little bit differently, right? This is not an infomercial, not the endless barrage of attempts to get you to call us. Our attitude's a little bit differently. We're going to try to analyze what's going on. We're going to try to tell you things that you can do on your own. Try to bring a little bit more economic background and principles into the conversation so you have an understanding of what's going on. Because really where we want to get clients, especially with us at Bulwark, I don't want people to sit there and think that I'm smart. Well, and if they do, they should probably just talk to my wife. No, but I don't want people to do things or invest with us because they're turning their brain off and they're going, oh, that's a smart guy. We want to try to educate clients and teach them what it is that we see, right? Because regardless of what markets do and short runs and all that kind of stuff, if you understand the approach that we, or for that matter, anybody that's managing your money, if you see the world similarly, and you agree with them about different things in terms of, you know, if you're looking at the same data, right, and you understand the principles behind the decisions that they're making, then it makes it a much better situation. It makes it a much better relationship, much easier to manage. We're of like mind. You know, if you think that the world is going to infinity and beyond, and you want to be 100% in stocks, and you want the new tech stock, and you want the new IPO and all that kind of stuff, you're not going to be happy with us. And that's not to say that you're not right. Like I said, you know, if you're in this game long enough, you're going to be made a fool of multiple times, right? Nobody's got a crystal ball. But we just approach it from, you know, a historic standpoint. Like Mark Twain said, you know, history doesn't always repeat itself, but it often rhymes. And I love that. I love that. It's kind of like a Yogi Berra type quote. But, you know, that's why we go about breaking this stuff down. And we know, look, we get up here and talk about the innocuous, don't listen to everybody else and ride the market up and down. And we know that would round us up more clients. It's more absorbable message, right? More digestible. More marketable. But it's not the truth. And the tough part about it is waiting till it comes, because every day the markets go up. And like I said, we're participating to the upside. But the hardest thing to do in investing is getting clients to be conservative in a greedy environment. It's the hardest thing to do, because there are parts about us as human beings, the hardest thing for us to do is sit and watch somebody we know or a neighbor or a family member, quote unquote, getting rich while we're being conservative. It's really hard. And I think it has something to do with, you know, that hard wiring in our brain about trying to survive and you know, going way back when, you know, getting a deer or a rabbit to make sure that we can feed our family and seeing somebody else using this new form of hunting or whatever, and they're killing it and we're not. And it just taps into that psyche that we as human beings, you know, one of our biggest attributes and also one of our biggest frailties as investors is the very things that are inside of us that we're, you know, programmed to help us survive are the things that betray us when it comes to financial matters. Right? For fear. Price is falling. We run out. That's exactly when we should be running in. Greed. Price is going up. We should be running out. But that's when we go back in, right? It's the inverse. And so we want to try to help walk you through that. And to identify the issues, to not just listen, you know, anecdotally, right? So just a quick recap. We were talking about this in the opening segment, stock valuations. And I got a little bit flippant and got a little bit, you know, casual about it. But here's, and you're going to hear me talk about it every week, okay? Markets continue to go up. Valuations continue to stretch. Corporations are not doing poorly, but they are not doing anywhere close to what they should be doing, considering actual growth and profits and things of that nature. Then we look at the balance sheet. Corporations on average right now here in the U.S. have 35% more debt on their balance sheets than they did in 2007. Yet their stocks are trading at almost double the multiple. Whew. Wow. It blows me away every time. I just never thought we'd see this again. I remember sitting there thinking in 08, 09, okay, it's probably going to be 20, 25 years again before the market gets that exuberant, before people turn a blind eye to the risks in investing again. And just 8 years later, we're already back there. It's and beyond. It's incredible to me. It's incredible to me. But anyway, let's focus on the things we can control, right? So what we're watching right now and what I think everybody needs to be paying attention to are market levels are great. I think that now is a great time. We're going to always talk about diversification. Now's the time we want to be diversifying our assets as part of a plan to get more conservative. Bottom line is we need less exposure to equities, but we can't be sitting in bonds and money. And we're going to get into that more coming up this next in the segment with question of the week, because sat down with a gentleman yesterday. Was this yesterday or day before? Anyway, a perfect example of what we talk about all the time. Conservative investor pulling back the risk in his portfolio. The downside is because of the way that his broker reduced risk in his portfolio, because they recognized that things were a little bit frothy out there, the consequence was he only made 7% in the last year. Market's up 20. Ouch. Right? So what do you do? What most people are doing out there is they're going more into stocks, right? And we don't want to do that. Don't want to do that, especially those of us closer to retirement. And everybody, really. You know, when things are the most expensive they've ever been, it's a great opportunity to sell them. Who cares what they do over the next 3 or 4 months, right? We invest over lifetimes, and yet we think in terms of weeks and months. And it gets us in trouble, and most of us still don't learn the lessons from it. But we're going to talk about that coming up, and I don't want to blow that. Some really interesting developments, though, in the rest of the financial world and sort of in the political world. And if you've heard the show before, well, look, this is KTTH, right? There's a reason we advertise on KTTH, and there's a reason you listen to it, okay? I can guarantee you with 99% of the people listening, we probably see the world pretty similarly. But there is something going on out there right now on the political sphere that just illustrates to me how screwed up this system is. Okay? Have you guys heard about the new tax reform? Yeah, you're KTTH listeners, and you're listening on the weekend, so obviously you have. Okay, the new tax policy. And I'm just as excited about anybody else about tax reform. Okay, but don't sit there and let the whole narrative, because tax reform's happening, the market's going to go to... Market's already there, guys. It's already priced that all in. It's got one heck of a price... Or tax cut priced into it already. Okay, but about the tax cut. Here's a huge problem. One of the biggest changes to the corporate tax proposal that the Republicans, the conservatives just put up, is a deduction in the corporate interest tax rate, making the top tax bracket for corporate income tax 20%. And one of the things that they've given up to help finance that tax cut is the mortgage interest deduction. They're going to cut it in half. And if you want to know why real conservatives have had a problem getting elected, it's that right there. You want to talk about a handout to uber wealthy people and to corporations who spend billions every year in lobbying and sticking it on the back of the middle class. We know that for the average person in the middle class, their home is their number one in terms of size and in terms of scope. It is their number one investment. We also know that the mortgage interest rate deduction for the vast majority of those folks is their biggest deduction. Now, if you've got a home and they're going to say it's on the back of people that make or the home valuation to get that to lose out on that or to get that decreased interest deduction. Your home's got to be worth $500,000 or more. Okay, well, apparently these guys haven't been to Seattle, right? And this, welcome to the ineptitude of conservatives. When the Democrats sit up there on stage and say that they are shills for corporations and the rich, and they don't care about the middle class, this is what they could point to. And you know the sad part about it is? They're right. They're right. Why in the world do you need to pass a corporate tax cut on the back of everyday average Americans? Corporations in the United States have more cash on their balance sheets and are more profitable. That profit's coming down, right? But at any other time. The problem with the economy is that wages for the middle class have been stagnant for over a decade. And you're going to take away these people? Oh, no, just on houses over $500,000. Again, guess you haven't been to Seattle lately. And I'm not looking down on anybody that doesn't have a house over $500,000. I'm just saying, if you own a house that's $500,000 plus, that doesn't exactly mean what it used to mean. Right? I know plenty of families that may have incomes between $80,000 to $100,000 a year whose house is worth more than $500,000. That's no great shakes. And this to me is the definition of what is wrong with the modern conservative party or the modern Republican party. That's not conservative. That's garbage. And it's sponsored by two things: greed, these politicians want to get reelected again, and stupidity. Half of them have never taken an economics class and have no clue what they're doing in office. And when the Democrats sit up there and accuse them of being in rich people's pockets and not caring about the middle class, they got a point. And look, guys, I'm about as conservative as they come. Libertarian more, you know, I'm, and I don't want to get too personal and too into it. But I saw that, I was fuming, and I was like, I've got to talk about this. I got to point this out to the listeners on KTTH, because you guys, I know I can discuss these things and bring this stuff to this audience, right? I know I won't be alone, and I know I won't be batted down by, you know, some socialist or communist or whatever. But yeah, that was just disheartening. I just sat there and went, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. Anyway. Okay, well, that's it for that segment. Stick with us, though, because we're going to get into, we're going to hit up more of this debt. And we talk about it all the time, but I wanted to get into some more specifics, talk about the things that we're concerned about, so you don't just think we're up here just making stuff up. Then we're also going to get into the question of the week and how that ties into our risk management. Just a good illustration of an actual person, Bill, that I met with up in Kenmore the other day. Bill, if you're listening, how you doing? And Bill gave me a great golf tip, reminded me got to keep that weight moving forward through the swing. Bill was a 5 handicap, Darren. Yeah, yeah, he's going to become a client. We're going to have to go out golfing with him. Anyway, but stick with us. Got some great stuff coming up. And as always, you can give us a call, 866-779-RISK, and we'll do a risk review with you right over the phone. Usually takes about 15 minutes. You can talk to me. You can talk to one of our sales associates. And we're not going to try to, you know, twist your arm or get you, you know, do anything. We approach it just like we do the radio show. We put it out there. If you're interested, great. We can help you out. Anyway, we got to get running. So give us a call. Go to the radio show website at knowyourriskradio.com. And we'll be right back. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great, you'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, we're back. And thanks for sticking with us. And this subject, or excuse me, this segment is debt. And I want to get right into it because I droned on a little bit too long on those first two segments. I just get fired up about this stuff. And the reporting I hear about it, man, talk about leaving something left to... Yeah, what's that say? I'm getting crossed up here. But, you know, leaving the meat out, right? So hard to find good, honest reporting where these people, A, where they're honest and they're not bringing you a biased approach, and B, they know what they're talking about, right? It's finding a combination or where those two styles cross. It's like trying to find a unicorn. it's just incredible. But we want to get right into that. And there's this, I love this great media work here. Love this. Great example. Ties right into what we're talking about. On CNBC today, there was a headline. The global economy is booming, and here's what that means. Okay, and they lay out some stuff. You know, we're recording this show today on Friday. Today's Saturday. You might want to go try to pull up the article, see if it's still up out there on CNBC.com. Go read it. And they've got some valid points. There are some good economic numbers. But what does it mean? The global economy is booming. Is it true? No, it's not true. Okay. And you know how we know? Debt. How can you have debt levels that right now are 330% of global gross domestic product? So, you know, economic growth. How can you have debt levels at 330% globally of gross domestic product, which is a record, and climbing, and then sit there and say the global economy is booming? The global debt issuance markets are booming, right? The amount of debt being created is booming. And what you have to understand here today about the world that we live in is we live in a fractional reserve banking economy, right? Which means that, you know, for every $10 that goes into the bank, they loan up to anywhere between $90 to $100 out, using that original $10 as the investment, right? You know, for instance, you know, we put 10% down in the house, we get 90% financed. Same basic idea. That's what we call fractional reserve banking. Meaning, you know, and actually, one of the great ways to illustrate this, I was actually telling this to a younger family member, a cousin of mine, trying to explain this concept to him, and walked him through It's a Wonderful Life. Remember the Bailey Savings and Loan and Mr. Potter and all that? Remember he's saying, hey, your money isn't actually here in the bank. It's in Jim's house and it's in Mary's house and right, all that stuff. So in a fractional reserve banking economy, economic growth and debt are inextricably linked. You cannot pull them apart. And that works, like we saw in 07, 08. That works. The quote unquote growth in the economy continues to look like growth and continues to behave like growth. As long as new debt is being issued, because as long as new debt is being issued, we can expire the old debt and roll it. When new debt quits being issued and there's a problem, then you can't roll the old debt. And what happens? Defaults. Okay. And defaults are like a waterfall. One begets another, begets another, begets another. That's what happened in 08-09. And if you go look at the markets back then, that's why you'll see this kind of slow top. And as it got going, it was worse. But as it got going, the fall kept steepening and steepening and steepening because of that knock-on effect. And that's how things spread in credit markets. It's exactly like, what was the old, I'm forgetting who said it. Shoot. But the old quote, you know, how'd you go bankrupt? Well, slow at first, and then it really sped up as things went going on, or something like that. I'm butchering it. But same basic idea. And when you live in a fractional reserve system like we do, that's why we have booms and busts. Too much credit gets issued. Cash flows aren't high enough to sustain that credit, right? Because as long as we've got increasing cash flows or increasing productivity, meaning businesses are becoming more profitable, they can keep feeding and paying and servicing the debt loads that they take on. But the minute they can't, that's when the cascade down starts, right? So then you've got to look at and say, okay, global economy is booming. You're looking around going, well, I know prices are booming, but I'm not seeing it in wages. I don't see people, right? Well, what they're saying, global debt issuances are booming. But the problem is, guys, is that's the way it's going to look right up until it's not. Because who's issuing all the debt? Who's refinancing all the loans? Go look at Europe right now. It's all the European Central Bank. It's not reflective of the underlying health in the businesses. It's reflective of if you've got a business and you've got a pulse, they'll lend to you, and they'll lend to you at ridiculously low levels. Same can be said here in the United States, which is interesting because if global economy is booming and everything's so great to justify these highest prices, right? Why is productivity at 30-year lows, 40-year lows? Why does productivity continue to decelerate? And for those of you that know the term productivity and don't understand what it is, when you think productivity, think profit, right? Productivity is what a capitalist system is based on. Productivity is when a guy can make X for $5 and a new guy invents a machine that can make X, the same thing that guy A made, but instead of $5, this new machine will do it at $2. He just unlocked $3 of productivity in the economy, right? That is what makes the world go round. That's what saves consumers money, allows that guy that invents that machine to hire more people in his company because he's got an excess advantage, and that's called productivity. If everything is so great and the economy is booming and, oh, look at it, it's all great again, why do we have record levels of debt? Why do governments have to continue to get involved in credit markets? Why didn't the Fed raise rates? We've got record high stock valuations. Not just levels, valuations. And the Fed just passed on a rate hike. They're still at emergency level interest rates. 9 years into the recovery with record low unemployment. Why? Because they see exactly what we're talking about right now. They know they got to keep this debt thing rolling because the minute it stops, it's going to be ugly. Why is it going to be ugly? Because there's more debt than there's ever been. That downward cascade is going to be, and it's unavoidable, guys. And it's right there. And I'm not saying it's happening tomorrow. It probably won't. It may not happen in the next year. But it's coming. You can't get out of it. It's like gravity. And they said the global economy is booming. No, debt issuance is booming. And you see it all over the place. You see high yield junk bonds in Europe trading at lower premium, you know, trading at a premium to U.S. government treasuries. Oh, most prolific debt cycle in the history of mankind, people, and we got front row seats. Oh, happy day. Anyway, we got to get running. We're out of time. We're going to get to the question of the week next, and we're going to tie that into risk management, why it's important and why it applies to you and why you need to keep your eyes on that. And for those of you just joining us, as always, you give us a call, 866-779-RISK. You can talk to me directly, talk to one of our associates, and we'll walk you through what we do and how we do it. There's no, just like we do the radio show, we're going to put the information out there. If you want to become a client, great. If you're just looking for the information, that's fine too. You can also go to the radio show website at knowyourriskradio.com. Anyway, we're running out of time. We got Dory coming up. Dory's going to join us in studio.
do a little conversation with
him. Are you worried that another market collapse,
and,
like the ones we experienced
we'll right
in 2000 and 2008,
so
could
always,
constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement?
Go to
if
the
so,
website,
give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great, you'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, welcome back to the show, and look what the cat drug in. Here he is.
Rat. A rat today.
Oh, I never know how you're going to enter the conversation. It's the spontaneity. That's part of being a professional broadcaster.
Yes, that's correct, Zach. I'm interested that you observed that spontaneity.
Oh, man. I want to talk a little bit about what we were just talking about off air, the whole Seattle I don't want to blow your segment or anything. Not that anybody's, I think this is going to air past that or after that.
But, yes.
Is it the Seattle City Council? Is that really the issue here as far as chasing business out of this city and this area?
We are in a wondrous economic time. And so they are doing all of these fundamentally anti-business, anti-capitalist things. $15 an hour is one of them. A Seattle City Councilwoman just last week proposed a head tax for the top 10 grossing businesses. Grossing. So they could be making not a penny in profits, but they'd have to pay $100 per head. And they say they want to take that money and use it to fight homelessness. So Amazon would be one of the companies that would be targeted with that. And you look at what's going on around the country where you have hundreds of cities bidding for Amazon's HQ2, an equal but separate headquarters. And New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, a few days ago, he said, we will give you $7 billion in tax breaks and incentives if you come to Jersey. So you have all these other cities that are saying, we will do anything to get your company, your jobs, your tax revenues to our city. And here's Seattle saying, screw you to Amazon. We will tax you because of your success. We will tax you because you represent capitalism, which the members of the Seattle City Council fundamentally despise. And the bottom line is, when this economy inevitably cycles down, watch how fast we become the next Detroit. When we build all of these wacky ideas that have no basis in reality on these unrealistically and unsustainably good times, watch and see how far and how fast business sprints out of here when they don't have a records-breaking economy propping up all the craziness of this region.
You're not fired up about this.
It's ridiculous.
I know. I
mean,
it's insane.
Businesses, be they small, medium, large, they are the economic engine of every economy. They're the job creators. They are the tax providers. And the members of the Seattle City Council, and a lot of people on the King County Council, they look at them as the enemy, as the adversary.
You know,
it's outrageous.
You know, and that goes right. I couldn't agree more. But also the thing that nobody thinks about, it's this nameless big, we're anti-big corporation. They pass these regulations, right, against business. And everybody forgets that the Amazons of the world, the Boeings of the world, we've seen this. We've seen them moving out, right? They can move, and it doesn't impact their business at all. But the small businesses who everybody says that they care about, right, they got to play by the same rules too, and they're the ones that end up getting hammered.
Well, for every person that Amazon or Boeing employs, there are probably 2.5 people in the service industry and support industry that's employed. So they have really long coattails. And yeah, if you chase these companies out of town, and look, Amazon's going to pull out of Seattle. They can say all they want that, no, there's going to be a second and equal headquarters.
But why?
Amazon is, at its very cellular level, about efficiency.
Right.
And there's nothing efficiency about two headquarters. It's just the beginning of the end of them saying, we're done with all of this Seattle socialist nonsense around here.
Yeah, 1 foot out the door.
Absolutely.
I mean, we've seen it with Boeing, and we've seen it just in our business, just increased regulations that we have to adhere to. It's not as bad as if we were a construction company or even a company like Amazon, but just the cost of doing business in this state just keeps going up and up and up and up. And the other thing I love to hear you talk about is watching backdoor. They're still working on this whole sale income tax thing, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's absolutely against the state constitution, but our attorney general won't fight it because he's afraid that would hurt his political climb to the governor's mansion someday. Housing prices, the cost of government built into our local housing prices. Housing prices are not about supply and demand.
Nope.
Housing prices are about an artificially reduced supply and unbelievable government regulation. I was reading a study. The University of Washington did a study. Syracuse did a similar study years ago. That if you take Seattle versus other similarly sized cities, Atlanta, Miami, all of them have some cost of government built into the housing prices. Seattle's housing prices are about 33% higher than similarly sized cities because of excess government over and above what these other cities' government impose. So a house in Atlanta that might be $600,000, it's going to be $800,000 in Seattle because of all the excess government regulation. And, of course, that's reflected in rental prices around here as well. And then you have all these politicians, these moron politicians, who say they care about the middle class, they care about the working class, and yet they embrace ideals that make housing prices impossible for anybody in the working class to attain. So, yeah, it's very frustrating to see. But this is what happens when you have politicians who have never worked a day in their life in the private sector. They have been nothing but government toadies from the day they graduate college and started campaigning for somebody. And they have no clue what life is like in the private real world.
Yeah, no, I know. I love listening to you rant about this because it's so spot on. Now, while you're here,
yes,
I'm not going to ask you to endorse. We don't endorse products. We don't endorse investments.
Can't Although do I do end. Like that Diet Coke.
Yeah. Oh. But that's here what we're going to tell people about. Yeah. So anyway, we do a segment on the show. You and I have spent a lot of time looking into this. Do a segment on the show called The Dirtiest Word in Investing. There is a fear out there, and people look down their nose at me when I bring up The Dirtiest Word in Investing, annuity, right? And we've talked a lot about it, this show, about how there are many different kinds. And we're not talking about the kind you put your money in there and get income. And there's a lot of bad products out there. We do talk about the kind, though, that you and I have spent a lot of time going over. These kinds of annuities that give you 50, 60% of the upside in the market. Nationwide just came out with a product that gives you 60% of the upside in the S&P 500. Okay, I'm not endorsing it, just saying that's what came out. Okay, we have tried to sit there and use that as a bond replacement. One of the things that nobody's focused on with this market going parabolic is interest rates are rising. For the conservative investors out there that are worried about the same thing you and I are, valuations and this being close to the top of the cycle, all that kind of stuff, they're sitting in bonds because that's what you've always done in the past.
Yeah.
I'm trying to warn people, if you are sitting there in bonds, if bonds are making up a big part of your portfolio, that could be the secret killer of your portfolio. As a matter of fact, it's happening right now. It's killing your performance, and you're going to lose in bonds.
Well, I recall that's maybe the first conversation you and I ever had.
Right.
And like you said, without endorsing them, but I'm intrigued by, and I keep my eyes open, I keep my ears open. I was reading a book by Tony Robbins, Money Mastering the Game, where he interviewed many of the best professionals in the world, hedge fund managers, guys like Ray Dalio. And he talked about these annuities. And I thought, well, that's a coincidence. I just read about this in a book. Zach's talking about them. And it's intriguing because you can limit your downside. There's upside potential. And I would just say to everybody, myself included, these are not times to close yourself off to anything.
Right.
And if you have reasonable advisors out there, there's no reason to, just because something didn't make sense 10 or 20 or 30 years ago, to say that forevermore it'll never make sense. And this is a good time when things are as crazy and as volatile and as, you know, just the level of unsustainability, in my view. People need to at least be open-minded, and that's where I think they should talk to you about some of those strategies and see if it makes sense for them.
Yeah, and it's not snake oil. Yeah. You know, I try to tell people, look, it's out there.
Yeah, there are a lot of credible people who are talking about it. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and, you know, these are the kind of products that are going to make you 5, maybe 6.5% in that range. But when but they're going to guarantee you against downside risk. They don't have fees. No fees at all. And you compare that to the average bond portfolio these days, and it's just not even close.
Yeah,
you know?
I know you got that, some more details in your 12-page booklet, Common Sense Investing, right?
That was good.
Yeah. How about that?
See, this is why he's the pro.
It's a plug right there.
That is a plug. Yeah. Yes, you can learn about these products in our book that Dory talks about on the air all the time. And we're just about out of time. I referred to you as a special guest again. I'm not giving that up.
Yeah, okay. Whatever. Whatever you want me to be.
Oh, man. All right, Dory. Well,
all right, Zach. Good talk to you. Good show. Nice
all right.
Job.
Go Hawks. Make sure they win for us this weekend, would you?
Done.
All righty. Thanks for joining us, sir. And we'll be right back. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great, you'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, welcome back, and thanks for sticking with us, guys. And we're going to get right into this next segment. Don't have too much time, so I want to talk about it. And we're going to get into the question of the week. But one of the things that we always try to do is, I don't want you guys listening to what I'm saying and writing it off, right? Because you probably never heard my name before unless you've listened to the show. And, you know, I'm not a nationally prolific financial mind at all. But that's why I like to bring up other guys. So you realize that what you're not listening to is some hack on the air making stuff up. And if you don't know a name, there's a name you should know. It's a guy by the name of Jim Rogers. And my grandfather actually knew Jim. I never got the opportunity to meet him, but Jim's a billionaire, a famous investor. And again, you guys will like this. It's really funny because he has nothing in common with the guy, but the way he became a billionaire is he met a guy by the name of George Soros in the late 60s, early 70s. And Jim Rogers and George Soros co-founded the Quantum Fund. And the Quantum Fund is really one of the first well-known hedge funds. And they were pretty good at what they did. And by pretty good, from 1970 to 1980, a 10-year period of time where the S&P went up 47%, pretty bad 10-year return, but it went up 47%. The Quantum Fund was up 4,200%. You didn't mishear me. Over a 10-year period, 1970 to 1980, S&P was up 47% during that period of time. The Quantum Fund was up 4,200%. And they had great runs after that, too. That was just the most impressive run, obviously. That's some slight market outperformance, right? And these are the two guys that were credited with breaking the Bank of England. Rogers wasn't as involved at that point, but that was Quantum Fund again. That was, I think Druckenmiller was there at the time. That was still Soros. But, and needless to say, Jim Rogers and George Soros do not see similarly. They're just both fascinated and both incredible traders, regardless of what we think about George Soros or not. And again, this is KTTH, so I'm assuming most of you have the same opinion of him that I do. The reason why I bring him up is I watched an interview with him recently where he said, look, we've had one of the greatest bull markets in history. He goes, coming out of one of the greatest, one of the worst bear markets of the last 50 years. And he said it was a bear market, referring to 08, 09. It was a bear market created by too much debt. And all we've done since then is doubled government debt, push corporate debt up another 35 to 40%, push consumer debt up above the highs in 2006 and 2007. And he said, now this is him. This is 73-year-old Jim Rogers, one of the greatest investors of all time. Sat there and said, don't know when it's going to happen. He thinks it's going to happen within the next 2 years, possibly sooner. But he said, it will be the worst bear market of my lifetime. Worst bear market of your lifetime. These are his words. So the reason I bring that up is because he's Jim Rogers, right? Go look him up. Go see what, you know, go read this stuff for yourself. Don't listen to me. Don't take my word for it. Just listen to what those guys are talking about. And then also understand that there are economic facts here. There are things you can't get around. You cannot just keep printing debt like it's monopoly money. I'm reading an article right now, and we talked about this a little bit last week, but just these anomalies that are showing up. Junk bonds, right? Low credit, high risk of default type bonds in Europe right now are averaging 2.17%. So if you buy these junk bonds that are very risky, that we know that a certain number of clients that or companies that issue this junk debt are going to go under. It's just the odds. Okay, you buy it, on average, you're going to get paid 2.17%. If you buy the 10-year U.S. government treasury right now, you're going to get 2.35%. So what is that telling us? That's telling us that the market thinks that 10-year U.S. government bonds are more risky. They will accept a lower amount of interest from European debt, junk debt. Is that really what the market's thinking? No. God, no. Not even close. The reason it's that low is because the European Central Bank is in there buying that stuff hand over fist, because they know if they don't keep pushing rates ever lower, they will stop that credit turnover game that we were talking about. And this gets right into to what I was telling you about the question of the week. Met with Bill, sat down, looked at his portfolio, and Bill goes, I'm not happy with my performance, Zach. I got very conservative, went to about 50% stocks and bonds about a year ago because I was concerned about valuations. And he goes, you know, obviously that was the wrong move. And I stopped him right there and I said, no, it wasn't. Investing doesn't give us the benefit of hindsight. If you got conservative a year ago because you thought valuations were excessive, then good job. You did what you were supposed to do. Historically, you're 100% right. We're not trying to time things. But the market was up 20% over the same period of time and he was up 7%. And I showed him that by utilizing the dirtiest word in investing, by swapping out that bond money that he literally lost money on, $480,000 or something like that, he had in a bond portfolio, he actually lost money on or made nothing on it over the course of the last 2 years when the market rallied 20%. Had he replaced that with one of those products that we use to replace bonds, his total portfolio performance would be up 13%, almost double what it was. Risk management, guys. I know a lot of you don't like the word annuity. I know a lot of you have been trained to say they're junk, and some of them are, but some of them aren't, especially when we compare them to bonds. And one of the easiest things you can do, and I don't care what your financial advisor says, he doesn't know what he's talking about. The proof's in the pudding. Look at the products. Go look at some of these things. And when you're looking at bonds right now, you want the thing that makes the least amount of sense in the world right now are bonds. You're hoping to get 1.5%. Bad risk management. And everybody can benefit from this. But anyway, we got to run. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next week. As always, hope you enjoyed the show. As always, go Hawks, go Dogs. Actually taking my 5-year-old son to his first Seahawks game on Sunday, so we got to get a win. But anyway, I hope you guys have a great weekend. Thanks for being with us. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.